Welcome to the Iowa Blog. I am your host, Craig Wynn. I want to thank you for inviting me back into your homes so that we have the opportunity to present part 12 on this series devoted to sharing what Yahweh, who is God, wrote about Dodd, who is known more commonly as David, who is, according to God, the Messiah, the very Son of God, the returning King, and the Savior of humankind. This is the most extraordinary song ever written, and not only because the lyrics were scribed by the Creator God of the universe, which, you know, puts it in a unique category by itself, but because in this one song, man's religions are destroyed. Yahweh is reintroduced to us, and the collaboration that Yahweh engaged with on behalf of his people, Yisrael and Yehudim, through his beloved son, Dodd David, is explained. There is no one that God cherished more in all of human history than Dodd. He is Yahweh's chosen one. He is the one who Yahweh not only anointed three times, but did so with his own set apart oil, setting him apart from all others who have ever lived. He is the one man that Yahweh said on three occasions, "He is my son, I am his father." It is Dodd's throne, his seat of honor, that will be established forever. And it is Dodd who will return. Well, he's returning for the second time. He has already lived two exemplary lives and will soon live a third. Dodd's initial life sits right in the center of Yahweh's timeline with humankind. That timeline begins with our expulsion from Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And it concludes with our readmission into Gan Eden as the entire earth is transformed back into the conditions we are witness to as Yahweh presents it to us. As a matter of fact, after this program, I'm going to do one where I return to our series on In the Garden. It's essential that you know that it is to the garden that we are being invited to return. And so Dodd's life is lived at the upper center of year 3000 Yah. There's 3000 years from the time that we were collectively expelled from the Garden of Eden. And there are 3000 years from Dodd's life to the time we will be readmitted. And so he is the fulcrum upon which the human experience in relation to God pivots. He is everything and more by infinite degree than is claimed of the crude counterfeit that was designed to replace him in Christianity, and also infinitely more than the crude counterfeit that was designed to replace him in Judaism, whether it was Iesu Christu, Jesus Christ, or Bar Kokhba, the son of a star. The only way to establish a relationship with Yahweh, to become part of his covenant family, to enter Shamaim, is to appreciate the collaboration between Dodd and Yahweh, particularly as they announced their intent to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, especially in the way they explained the purpose of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, especially in the way that they announced the exact day that they would begin to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, and precisely because of what they achieved by doing so. The realization that Dodd is the Messiah and Son of God, and that he fulfilled Passover on yeasted bread and firstborn children in year 4000 Yah. And that by doing so, he opened the doorway to heaven, made it possible for us to live forever on Pesach by serving as the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb. And then with his soul carrying our guilt into Sheol to deposit it there in a place akin to a black hole so it would never be seen again, he perfected us, providing the first two benefits of the covenant in these two events. And then on Bakurim, the Bakor, firstborn of Yahweh, made it possible for them to be Bakurim, firstborn children, at his side. And as a result, God is able to enrich and empower us, thereby enabling all five benefits of the Bereth covenant. This realization that Dodd David is all of these things, the most prolific of the prophets, the most extraordinary defender of his people, the shepherd of his flock. Yahweh's chosen Messiah, our former and future king, and the man who gave us life, who provided our ultimate liberty in the universe, who perfected us and signed our adoption papers into God's family, is all one and the same. And he is Dodd. The great tragedy, of course, is that Paul and those he conned into his cult of counterfeiting plastered all over this, piled just rubbish upon trash, upon repulsive notions, all untrue, on top of the truth about who Dodd is and what he represents. So that there is such an appeal now for a mythological misnomer bearing the titles that were afforded to Dodd that most people are blinded as to what's underneath that rubbish, the most profound truth in the universe. And then Judaism did Jews no favor when, rather than debunking the myth of Jesus Christ, instead fought one lie with another and foisted another false Messiah on the world with Bar Kokhba, bringing the wrath of Rome on God's people, causing the diaspora, leading to the Holocaust. And that is the father of rabbinic Judaism, Akiba. So this is where we find ourselves. The next statement in that Yahweh wrote on behalf of his beloved son to his beloved people, the people that he chose that have never chosen him in return, Yisrael and Yehudim, is profoundly important. And I want to introduce it by telling you that when Yahweh speaks of the fortifications that were lost, this sheepfold that has been torn down, what he's alluding to here is that his son Dodd, when he relied on Yahweh, was the greatest defender in the history of God's people. He united God's people. And at a time when the terrorists known as the Philistines were having their way with God's people, they had killed the prior king, they had killed his best friend, they had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. They were ransacking Israel, not unlike the Fakistinians who are named after them are doing today. But when Dodd was just 8 years old, when Yahweh chose him, introduced him to the world, anointed him as Messiah, and brought his spirit upon Dodd. Shortly thereafter, Dodd, with Yahweh, with a single stone, took down the mightiest of the Philistines, Goliath. And thereafter, when Dode was finally empowered, he was the one that brought the Philistine invasion of Israel to an end. He's the man who fought 66 defensive battles on behalf of God's people and won them all with Yahweh's support. The defense that he created for Yisrael was the truth about his father, Yahweh. The truth has always been the best defense. No one did as I have pleaded with so many for so long, wielded words wisely. No one did it better than Dode. He is the most brilliant among us. He is the most articulate among us. And it is with his words and with his character and with his courage and with the ability that he possessed as Yahweh's second of three Zeruah, as Yahweh's Gabor, his most competent, capable, and courageous man, Dode built defenses for God's people, keeping all who would harm them at bay. But they tore them down almost immediately after Dode's passing, the first maybe half a dozen years of his son Solomon's rule, a little more than that, maybe 7 to 10 years, were quite good. But then Solomon got preoccupied with trivia and with way too many women. Nothing wrong with women. I don't even think there's something wrong with many women. But there is something definitely wrong when the majority of those women practice pagan religions and they influence Solomon, and his sovereignty was immediately eroded as a result, and it eroded the defenses of Israel. So the story is really quite clear. Solomon was influenced by pagan religions. He became religious as opposed to focusing on Yahweh, and Israel's defenses were torn down. Israel split in two shortly after his death. Thereafter, as a result of the defenses of Israel being torn down, the Assyrians had their way with the northern kingdom. They not only destroyed it, they hauled 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel off into the hinterlands. They're called lost. They're really not lost. They're unfortunately, though, they were brought into Islamic countries, and unfortunately, many of them moved to Yathrib outside of, or what became Medina, not very far from Petra, which is where Muhammad grew up. And when Muhammad went to Yathrib, one of the worst encounters in human history took place. And it was really a twofold problem. One is that rabbis sold Talmud readings to Muhammad so that he could create his Quran. And then when they mocked him, Muhammad turned on them and performed genocide against the Jews in Arabia. Next, to torment this defenseless nation were the Babylonians. And they not only hauled Jews into captivity, they would destroy the very home for Yahweh's name that Solomon had built on the Temple Mount on Moriah that Dode had acquired, and the city of Dode for his people. But that would not be the end of it. They would come back and they would be harassed by the Greeks, with men claiming to be God, defiling Yahweh's city, the city of reconciliation, Jerusalem. And that spawned a civil war amongst Jews. That's the story of the Maccabees, as they vied for power among themselves. And, well, they let down their defenses because they went to war against themselves. It was a pattern that Jews would repeat over and over again, going to war against themselves, thereby allowing foreigners to invade and destroy them. They would do it again with Pompey, the Roman, around 66 BCE. One family was vying amongst themselves for who would be high priest and who would be king. High priest, being the religious leader, was worth more money, had more power than being king. So they coveted it most of all. And to quell the infighting between the two, Pompey came and whacked Israel badly. Oh, it got worse. In 70 CE, there was again fighting amongst various groups in Israel as various warlords sought protection and power and enrichment and control. And well, it invited the Romans in again. This time, Vespasian, who would become emperor once Nero died, and his son Titus were savages. They did what Rome did best: mercilessly slaughter any who would dare speak against them. Any who sought freedom were destroyed by the beast of Rome that, well, became the Roman Catholic Church and didn't change much in the process. But of course, during that infighting amongst Jews, they let their defenses down, and so many were hauled away into slavery. And it was actually a combination of two things that was so tragic at that time. People don't know. My guess is you don't know. That arch of Titus that exists in Rome leading to the Colosseum, showing the Jews as captives with the menorah of Yahweh. The Colosseum was funded in its entirety with wealth stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. In its entirety. The entire construction project was done by Jewish slaves. The Colosseum, the most decadent, destructive, immoral palace to human degradation and insanity, to death, was built on the proceeds and the lives of Jews and the house for Yahweh's name, the temple. Did you know that? And that after that occurred, for their amusement, the Jews who built the Colosseum were used as fodder for animals to rip apart, for gladiators to dice into pieces. Did you know that Rome was that despicable? The ultimate, well, second ultimate beast, but only if you don't equate Imperial Rome with the Roman Catholic Church. But it would happen again. Jews started infighting again. This time it was because this ridiculous cult that was established by Paul, who then convinced others to collaborate with him and began writing these letters and making these speeches as a Roman, while also Jewish, claiming to be a rabbi, that there had been an Iesus Christus, and he afforded all of Dode's attributes to him, claiming that Dode was in his grave and dead, so that all the promises that had been made to Dode David magically were afforded to his Iesus Christus, a complete myth, someone who never lived. And the rabbis, rather than saying, wait a minute, why don't you read the 89th Mizmor, which is what we're doing? Why don't you read the 22nd Psalm, which we will do on this program? Why don't you read the 88th? Why don't you read Yeshaya Isaiah 53. Why don't you read 2 Samuel 7? Why don't you listen to what Yahweh, who just happens to be God, had to say about Dode and the fact that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is our Savior? Or open the 9th chapter of Daniel, where Gabriel is God's most competent and courageous man. He's identified as a man. He is Dode, came to Daniel and said, "This is what I am going to do." The Messiah explained what the Messiah would fulfill and gave the exact date that he would enter Jerusalem to do it, and the rabbis knew it. And rather than acknowledging these things and say, "Wait a minute, you are usurping all that God said and stealing all that God said about his beloved son. You're a bunch of liars." Rather than having the courage to do that, rather than having the morality to do that, Rabbi Akiva decided he would fight a lie with a lie and foisted a false Messiah on God's people. And by having Israel torn apart again and vulnerable, Rome came calling again, this time under Hadrian, and destroyed Judea. That is when Hadrian was the one who renamed Judea Palestina, because when he tortured the scholars who were fluent in Hebrew and tortured them by soaking Torah scrolls in kerosene and then lighting them on fire with the scholars inside of them, they tortured people for their amusement. They acknowledged that the most terroristic, most barbarian, the most savage of Israel's foes had been named the Philistines. And so Hadrian renamed Judea just to irritate Jews so that they would never have an affinity for their own land, never rebel against Rome again. Philistina. "You did this to yourselves, Israel." Sure, you can't be blamed for Rome, but you invited Rome through your failures, through your infighting, to tear you to ribbons. But that would be the end of it. You continued to be religious. You continued to distance yourself from God. You continued to deny who Dode represents. And in the diaspora, by having done so, even by creating this ludicrous cult based upon a man who dared call himself the Lord of the Good Name, Baal Shem Tov, you created this death cult of your own in Hasidic Judaism in the late 1700s. Why? To irritate God all the more? Then you even blamed God for the Holocaust. When a dogma as ruthless, as totalitarian, as savage, as demonic as the one that is tormenting you now killed 6 million of you. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? And then look at today. You are a house divided. You have progressives screaming all sorts of nonsense, and you have the Haredim as nothing but disgusting parasites. Bam! And what into the midst of this division did you experience? The onslaught of Islam, raping your daughters, torturing your children, abducting your women, murdering your sons. And even then, you didn't have the good sense to actually face the truth that your enemy was not Hamas. It's not Islamic Jihad. Matter of fact, on that onslaught, on that day, look at the pictures. A tiny minority of the 3,000 Islamic jihadists that fled into Israel to be such savage barbarians on that day were Hamas. They were just Muslims. And you couldn't admit that your enemy was Islam. And because you couldn't admit that your enemy was Islam, you still speak of Palestinians and Hamas and Hezbollah. Wake up, Israel. Please, before it is too late. Islam declared war on you 1,400 years ago. Muhammad perpetrated genocide against the Jews in Arabia. It's not my opinion. It's not pejorative. It's true. It's irrefutable. The Quran confirms it. The Hadith confirms it. Everything we know about Muhammad and the formation of Islam verifies it. I document all of it from the earliest Islamic sources in Goddamn Religion, which is all free for you, all 4,200 pages, all five volumes, all based entirely on the oldest Islamic sources to prove that Muhammad conceived Islam to kill Jews and to wage war on all humankind. These are irrefutable facts, and yet you will not face that truth. And so you're a house divided. You've torn down your protective walls, the sheepfold. You have done as Yahweh says. You have broken down and destroyed his entire sheepfold and all of its walls. You have caused the undoing, the degradation, and the destruction of his fortifications. May I remind you who his is? Who is he? Who is his? Dod, David, the Messiah, the Son of God, your defender, your shepherd, your savior, your king. You destroyed, tore down everything that he had built for you. Mizmor, lyric to sing, Psalm 89:40. As a rebuke to every religion, Yahweh has deliberately restricted access also to his covenant. And so this is not just historic on what has happened. It is not just prophetic of what just occurred. It is also symbolic of what really matters. And it is true to a significant extent that Yahweh has deliberately restricted access to his covenant. And in this case, something that I did not realize until quite recently, there is a gate and that protective wall around the covenant. And that gate is there not only to let people in, but to escort them out. You have to be really careful when you develop a relationship with Yahweh that your loyalties remain steadfast and true. Ignorant or adverse to the five instructional terms of the covenant that God set as his conditions for entry, men like Akiba and Paul have sought to annul the Almighty's intent while projecting their own. Let's be blunt. The Garden of Eden had walls. They were not there to keep Adam and Chawa locked inside as if they were prisoners, but instead to keep the rest of humankind out because they were religious and they did not belong. Gan Eden, the protective garden enclosure of great joy, was truly, the name implies. It was fun because the curmudgeons were excluded. And as was Eden, so will be Shamaim. No curmudgeons. No religious parasites in their ugly black mourning suits. No libertard progressives screaming all sorts of hypocritical, ignorant nonsense. No Twistians. No Muslims. Just rational and reasonable people who know the truth and have made an intelligent decision about Yahweh and have remained loyal to him. As was God's relationship with Dod, so it will be with the covenant's children. That is why this Mizmor Psalm is so important. Dode and the covenant continue to be integrated and indistinguishable with the beloved upholding and representing the family, such that an attack on one is an assault on the other. All who pass by this way plunder him. They plunder the Messiah. They plunder the king. They are robbing the Son of God. That, folks, is really stupid. And if you want to know who's defined by that's really stupid, every Christian, every religious Jew, of course, every Muslim, even progressives, they don't want to give Dode credit for anything. They want to pretend that he didn't even exist. The evidence is overwhelming, undeniable, that he did, even apart from the prophecies that he penned about himself. I mean, can you imagine going into Babylon when the children of Israel, particularly the stragglers of Yehuda, were incarcerated there, enslaved there, and he reveals exactly what's going to transpire 6 centuries thereafter. He tells us the exact time that he's going to fulfill Chag Matzah, Pesach Matzah, and Bukurim. And he tells us what's going to transpire as a result of that, and he even describes when he's going to return for the third time. You have all of that. He is the only eyewitness account as to his own crucifixion as the Passover lamb. Mizmor 22 describes scientifically, medically, exactly how crucifixion kills. 500 years before the Assyrians invented the torture, and what, some 700 years before Rome perfected it with nails? Yes, Dode proves that he was a prophet and that his Mizmor Psalms can be trusted because they're filled with prophecy. All who pass this way plunder him. He has become scorned and abusively ridiculed, defiled and upbraided by those who claim some affinity with him. Isn't that amazing? This is Psalm 89:41. The people who are plundering him, the people who are ridiculing and defiling the reputation of Dode as the Messiah, Son of God, and our Savior, the returning King, are those who claim some affinity with him. Christianity, Judaism, the political mantra of Israel, even Islam. Well, no, in all fairness, Islam's presentation of Dode David is as stupid as the rest of the book. I mean, he speaks bird language, and he has a bird army, and he and his son talk to ants, and they have all manner of just unbelievably stupid. I mean, stupid encounters. And you can't even credit Muhammad and Allah for creativity as it relates to being stupid, because the stupidity actually came from the Talmud. It just twisted a little bit more to make idiocy even more moronic. So, yeah, no, he was Muslim. Probably didn't know that, right? Solomon was another Muslim. Probably didn't know that. Alexander the Great was a Muslim. He was a really special Muslim. Alexander the Great. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was an astronaut. I don't know if you know this, but Alexander the Great, according to the Quran, was the first astronaut. He blasted off where the sun goes nighty-night. I probably don't know the sun goes nighty-night, but according to the Quran, it's true. And the sun goes nighty-night, according to the Quran, in a muddy spring. Mm-hmm. Yep. And in that muddy spring where the sun goes nighty-night each night, there are extraterrestrials. And those extraterrestrials, they didn't believe in Allah or Islam. So Alexander the Great set him straight. And then he went to the other side where the sun wakes up in the morning. And there were more extraterrestrials there, but they had a name. They were Gog and Magog. Yes, indeed. And so what Alexander the Great did to prevent the great avalanche and attack the flooding in of these Gogians and Magogians is he built a wall of lead. Yeah, in space, he built a wall of lead. That's what kept the extraterrestrials from inundating us. We probably don't know these things. These are handy hints that come from the Quran. So, yeah, all three religions claim an affinity for them, and the people of Israel themselves claim an affinity of him by wrapping themselves in what they call the Star of David, not even being aware that David had no star. David was not an astrologist. David was not religious. As a matter of fact, when Yahweh speaks of David, he speaks of him as the sun. Yes, I know the sun is a star, but not in the mindset of anybody that lives here on earth. And he was talking to people who lived here on earth. Now, I mean, maybe David was also an astronaut and was speaking to aliens. I can't tell you for sure. Okay. In all honesty, Israel wraps themselves in a myth of David with this star, which really belongs to Bar Kokhba, a star which grew out of Kabbalah, a star which was used by the Roman Catholic Church and then by the Nazis to subjugate Jews, to denigrate them, to isolate them, to kill them. And Jews took this symbol of their degradation and they wrapped themselves in it. And how lost can God's people be? They erased Yahweh's name. They won't even say it. They won't acknowledge their Messiah by name. They won't acknowledge that God said, I have a son, and that we achieved all of these things together. It is total and complete denial. And so whether it's political Israel or religious Israel, Christianity or Islam, the same thing is true. He has become scorned and abusively ridiculed, upbraided by those who claim some affinity with him. God is really smart. And God, when it comes to these predictions, he cheats. Yeah, he cheats. I can tell you that. I've watched it. Do you know how God cheats? Do you know how God gets every one of these prophecies right? You think he's just a really lucky picker? What do you think? Or you think he's some cosmic killjoy that's out there pulling levers and saying, I'm going to say this is going to happen. So I'm going to, and he's going to, and suddenly exactly what he predicted happened. So he just told you what he was going to do in the future. Do you think that's how prophecy works? Really? Do you not know? Do you not understand the whole concept of the dimension of time, the nature of light, and how on a photon of light, which is what Yahweh equates himself to, it's the closest thing in our point of realm, our perspective, our understanding that we can understand that would equate to him, that on a photon of light, time is. All time exists simultaneously. That's the reason why when we become as children of the covenant, we are transformed from physical bodies to energy, we can explore the entire universe because it does not matter if the universe is 96 billion light years across, because to get from one side to the other takes no time, because time simply is. And it doesn't matter what the distance is, doesn't matter what the speed is, so long as time simply is. So this is the nature of Yahweh. Because he existed in time, and because all the fullness of time is on a photon of light, Yahweh is able to tell us specifically what he has witnessed in our future, in our past, because he is not predicting it, he's seen it. And so he can tell us where our choices lead in our past, have it documented in writing, because he's witnessed it. That's the nature of prophecy. And prophecy isn't just in the future, it's also in the past. Yahweh is the only accurate record of creation because, well, he was there. He's the only accurate record of what happened during the regional flood that consumed those living around Noah because, well, he caused it and he was there. He's the only one that can accurately tell us exactly what happened with Abraham and Sarah and present each detail of that story such that the archaeologist Spade verifies it because, well, he was there. So claiming an affinity with David is common. His name appears in the New Testament, the Talmud, the Quran. It is found throughout ancient texts. Similarly, Christians, Jews, and Muslims with wholly contradictory belief systems all claim to be Abrahamic religions, even though they degrade Abraham's legacy, and Abraham didn't have a religion. In fact, the very fact that Abraham had walked away from Babel is the entire reason that God reached out to him because he was not religious. Alleging similar origins, their God share nothing in common. Christians are particularly guilty lugging around an Old Testament, a term Yahweh never uses. That's a term from Paul, who hated the words of God. Paul is the one who twisted and convoluted everything that he cited from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms to create his mythical story of Iesu Christu and himself as the lone spokesperson so that he could condemn everything that was written by the God who inspired the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. While at the same time claiming that he was inspired by him. That is a bit of magic, I will tell you that for sure. Can you imagine being so foolish you would believe a religion where the leader of that religion, the one that wrote the first 14 books of that religion, yeah, long before the Gospels were written, Paul's 14 letters were distributed, and the Gospels were written to corroborate Paul's letters, not the other way around. And he came up with this idea. I mean, this is really insane, that he was the lone authorized agent for the God he constantly contradicted. That's the essence of Christianity. Whether or not you want to deal with reality or not, that is the essence of the religion. People are so irrational. Even today, people will do the same thing. And if you do what Paul did, which is you take snippets of truth, you twist it to serve your agenda, and you feed it up to them, they'll slurp it on down, and they'll believe you. That's just stunningly amazing. Anyway, he would claim that the Old Testament, with its tribute to Dode, somehow that all of that didn't apply to Dode at all. It applied to his Iesu Christu. But in this very statement, Yahweh, who said that Dode was his son, that Dode was the Messiah, that Dode was the savior of humankind, serving as the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb, was the sum and total. The man through whom he worked with, the man through whom he enabled all of the covenant benefits. And he says, if this isn't true, you can call me a liar. Poof. Gone. Nothing left of Christianity. And from the very book that they lug around with them. Nothing left of Judaism. From the very Tanakh, they claim their God inspired. Nothing left of that mess that is called Islam, because their entire book is plagiarized based upon a bastardized renderings of the Talmud, which was arguments rabbis had against Yahweh's revelations. So they will claim an affinity for the boy who slew the giant and who sang the 23rd Psalm, not knowing that it is Yahweh for whose name's sake the song was written and the stone was hurled that, of course, and that they blame Jews for all of their problems, even the death of their God, they must deny that he was the most Yehud of all men. Even in the Quran, there is an entire surah devoted to Dawood. The only problem is that this imposter was a Muslim and he worshipped Allah before Allah's name was even invented. Before, well, what, 1,600 years after Daud's initial life? Almost 600 years after Daud's second life, where all evidence, 100% of it, is to the contrary. But yeah, truth never interferes with religious beliefs. They're really good religions, are making certain that truth is not a bother to them. Evidence and reason, nah. That's the stuff of people who don't have faith. Confronted with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which demonstrate otherwise, these parchments memorializing this psalm and so many others. In fact, there are more scroll fragments and just breadth of material from Daud's Psalms than anything else found of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Even more than the book of Isaiah, even more than fragments of and scrolls from the Torah. God wanted it this way. There were 1, 2, 3. The Mizmor of Daud, the prophecies of Yeshaya, which are essential to my mission and to this time regarding God's people. And of course, the great Mashiach, and also of Moshe's Torah, 1, 2, and 3. 1,000 years before their religion was invented, the Dead Sea Scrolls destroy everything that Allah would claim. Allah's not very bright, but stones usually aren't. So I wonder how a literate Muslim would react after seeing Yahweh's name rather than Allah's emblazoned all the way through all of those scrolls 1,000 years before their religion was invented. Many of those who passed this way ransacked the covenant, ridiculing everything Daud represents by taking it from him and giving it to themselves or others. They jeopardized countless lives by falsely claiming affinity with either David or that covenant. Christians have a new covenant, even though there's no mention of anything even remotely related to a new covenant. And Yahweh says he has one of them. And even when he comes to reaffirm it, he's going to reaffirm it by writing his Torah inside of us. Of course, Islam would like to claim covenant, but they don't even know how to write the word. And the only covenant that Allah ever had is a covenant of death with the pledge to wage war against all humankind, with extra bonus points for killing Jews. That's not exactly the covenant that Yahweh enabled through the foremost of all Jews, Daud. Today, we know them as practitioners of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. What? Wait a minute, why would you include Judaism? Because if you go to Chabad, for example, which is the clearinghouse for all propaganda on Judaism, you will find that the covenant isn't between Yahweh and Yehudim. No, it's not between Yahweh and those who have chosen to be part of his family. Nope. I won't even mention Yahweh's name. It isn't something that Yahweh enabled through his son Daud, which is what he said here in this Mizmor. No, the covenant is a covenant with their religion, Judaism. Now, I would like you to find the affirmation of that somewhere in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. I'll give you, well, not just all day, I'll give you all eternity. Well, you won't have all eternity, because if you're religious and you think that's true, your days are numbered. You have 8 years and 8 months at the very best. And then you're going to be gone because there are no curmudgeons in the garden. Now, speaking of the religious, whether they are pilgrims or refugees, crusaders or jihadists, God says, you have lifted up and exalted the upper hand of his foes, Daud's foes, the Messiah's foes, your Savior's foes, the returning King's foes, and adversaries, especially those who try to constrain and limit him, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, and even progressive libertards of socialist secular humanism who control academia, who won't even call it the city of Dodd because they want to give it to Muslims. They won't even acknowledge that the Temple Mount was acquired by Dodd because they want to give it to Allah so he can, Allahu Akbar, claim that he is greater than Yahweh with his trophies that still stand on the Temple Mount. You have given the upper hand to his foes by doing these things, by limiting him. You have caused all who demonstrate animosity and rancor towards him to be delighted. Israel, you have foregone the covenant with Dodd, with Yahweh. You have foregone the fortifications that they have provided to you. You have done all of this to yourself, and you're reaping the consequence. So what do you suppose is the answer? God has made his point. He, as you'd expect of any loving father, is angry. He is annoyed by what those who falsely claim to speak for him have done to denigrate his son and diminish all that was accomplished through him. It was Jews who gave the upper hand to those who would later seek to destroy them. The foremost toxic belief systems were all founded and abetted by Jews. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and socialism, which is now called progressivism. There, 4 for 4. Nice job, boys. Suicide. Isn't that what it is? When you kill yourself, and yet you've done this to yourself. By their failure to acknowledge. And what's amazing here, before I go on, I stand for you. I speak for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I have risked my life up to this point for you. I have devoted the last 23 years of my life to reintroducing you to Yahweh, to reacquainting you with Dodd David, to sharing with you what Yahweh actually conveyed about his Torah, his Bereth covenant, his Mikre invitations to be called out and meet. I've devoted my life to you. And so I'm not speaking as your foe. I am speaking for Yahweh, who wants you to know what you have done to yourself so that you can get out of yourself and recognize that Yahweh is God, that Moshe revealed the Torah to teach you what you needed to know, that Dodd fulfilled the very Mikre that Moshe introduced so that you could be part of Yahweh's family, and that I am here to bring all of that to your attention. We are the three Zoroah. Now, by their failure to acknowledge what, or that Dodd was the Messiah and Son of God, and that he returned to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, as predicted, Yehudim opened the door for Christianity. Through their denials, they helped justify replacement foolology. The religion that for a better part of 1,800 years harassed you, subjugated you, persecuted you, made it possible for the Holocaust to happen, you sponsored. For Christianity to differentiate itself from Yahweh and Dodd, from their Torah and covenant, enough to become popular with Greeks and Romans, they would need a New Testament. And yet, for it to be believable, it would have to borrow heavily from Yahweh's testimony, although it'd have to be written in Greek because they didn't like Hebrew. It would have to claim all of the prophecies found in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms for itself. They couldn't come up with one that was new. They couldn't come up with any justification for their religion. There isn't a single mention of anyone even marginally related to an Iesus Christo. Not one. There's not a single reference to any of the characters in the Christian New Testament. The entire correlation was contrived. And it is so obvious when you take a moment to compare what the Christian New Testament claims and what Yahweh actually said. One of my favorites is, I wrote a whole chapter, I might even be two chapters, in Twistianity. There's five volumes of it, so I had a lot of room to maneuver. And Peter gets up very early in Acts, I think it's the second chapter of Acts, and he is saying that what really is Shabuah, he calls it Pentecost for 50, was being fulfilled in their midst at that time. And his justification is a citation from Joel that speaks explicitly of what is about to happen to Israel, about us now. He just so butchers the translation that everything the numbskull said is not only untrue, it's laughable. Such is the entirety of the Christian New Testament. Therefore, the new religion proposed that it was authorized by the same God and justified by the same prophets and prophecies. But how is that possible when one outcome is entirely contradictory with the other? Oh, well, as I told you, evidence and reason don't bother the faithful. The answer for Christianity became replacement foolology. You may have heard of it as replacement theology, but there's no theo in the foolology, so I've just made the term more accurate. This sleight of hand wasn't simply about assigning the blessings and promises offered by God for Jews to Gentiles who seek their eradication. It's about replacing one covenant with another, and then Yahweh and Dod with Jesus and the Lord. If you don't concur, do what I've done. After scrutinizing Paul's renunciation of Dod for the sake of his Jesus, go to any Christian site and read their assessment of every prophecy pertaining to David. You will find that Jesus isn't named in any of them. But every time Dod's name appears, Christians insist that it actually applies to Jesus, as if God was so stupid, so old, so senile, that he had a Biden moment, and he didn't know the difference between the two names. Wasn't aware that which one was anointed his Messiah. He just slipped a gear, okay? Maybe he was napping. He's tired. He's old. The problem for Christians wasn't as simple as it really is profound. Without the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, they have no God, and they have no credibility. But with them, they present a jumble of contradictions. Their only hope was for people to believe their lies, for their faith to occlude judgment. They banked upon apathy and ignorance, and for the most part, here's your prize. They got it. I was the first person in almost 2,000 years to juxtapose the authors of the Christian New Testament's writings from the oldest sources against what Yahweh actually says as retained in the oldest sources. First one ever. And systematically, over the course of five volumes, each averaging about 700 pages, these aren't exactly short, I demonstrated that everything that's in the Christian New Testament is a lie. Why wasn't it done before? Did no one know Yahweh? Did anyone care about Yahweh? Did no one know Dod? Did anyone care about Dod? Did anyone go to the trouble to say, wait a minute? No, in fact, I can tell you the answer because no one ever had. To say that Iesus Christus, that Jesus Christ fellow, never existed. It's not that he was misnamed as so many claimed Iesus or some variation of it. Yahushu. It's that he never existed. He is nothing but a crude counterfeit of Dod mixed in with a whole lot of Dionysus and Odysseus. It is a paper-thin lie, the entire religion. And yet no one had done this comparison because no one up to this point gave a hoot about who Yahweh actually is, what he actually had to say, and his relationship with his beloved son, Dodd. Not until I wrote those books. Puts me in a really unique position, doesn't it? To look you in the eye, Yisrael, and to say, this is the lie that was piled on top of the truth so that you wouldn't see it. And that same fellow wrote the 5 volumes of Goddamn Religion. They're sitting there on that bookshelf and hardback over my left shoulder, screen right. And those volumes, systematically doing exactly the same thing, showing exactly what the oldest Islamic sources say, repudiated Islam and announced in no uncertain terms, in a completely irrefutable way, that Islam is a declaration of war against all humankind and that Jews were the first target and that their religion gives bonus points for genocide against Jews. No one in all of human history has done these two things. And then written a series of books called Babel to expose and condemn rabbinic Judaism because they're at fault. The blame trickles right down to them, the rabbis. God hates them even more than the proponents of Christianity and Islam because of the great damage they have done to his people. And then at the same time, I've written 25 books translating the Dead Sea Scrolls in an amplified fashion with copious amount of commentary and thousands of unheralded and profound insights so that you might know the truth. Voted 23 years of my life to telling you this, serving as Yahweh's call voice and as Dodd's Bashar herald. You're getting close to listening, Yisrael. What's it going to take? Is the next attack on you going to be, which will be 100 to 1,000 times worse than what you experienced on 10-7 of 23? Prophet Yoel, the prophet Yeshaya, said so. So we know it to be true. Are you going to come home then? Why wait? It's inevitable. Remember, Yahweh's not predicting the future through his prophets. He's witnessed it. What I'm telling you is going to happen will happen. Yes, in May of 2026, the time of Jacob's trouble is going to begin on Shabuah. And it's going to end on Teruah in year 6,000, 7 years later, on September 24th, 2033. And all hell's going to break loose around the world in between those dates. Be forewarned. Yahweh gets 100% of his prophecies right because he's not predicting the future. He's witnessed it. Today, at least for some, there is a battle for hearts and souls raging throughout the world, a struggle between right and wrong. The loudest voices are those who claim that they worship religious gods, while the chorus of those who stand with Dodd and who speak for Yahweh is exceedingly few and faint among the billions. But I am changing that. It is my job to change that. My voice is not faint. My heart, my mind are bold. I share the same courage that was expressed by your Messiah, Dodd, which is why I was chosen to speak for him. I can look you in the eye and I can tell you the truth and I can actually expose for the first time to you that your greatest nemesis, Yisrael, Yehudim, is your goddamn religion, Judaism. And second onto that, is Christianity, and third onto that, although it is more traumatic for you at this moment, is Islam. And today, this alliance between progressives, of which way too many Jews are allied with, I call them libertards, and Islam is the greatest threat to our planet. So I will speak boldly, forthrightly, courageously to you. As I know more about Yahweh, I know more about his son Dod, I know more about the enemies of God and of his chosen people than anyone on earth. And I'm willing to risk my life to tell you so. I am Craig Wynn. I am known affectionately by Yahweh as Yada. And this has been the Yahweh Blog.